On Midwest Week, what happened and didn't during the General Assembly's veto session. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Brian Mackey, State House reporter in Springfield for Illinois Public Radio. Brian, you've covered a number of these veto sessions so far. In general terms, how does this compare to past years?
This is one of the most exciting and consequential veto sessions I have covered, but not because of any actual vetoes or really even because of the legislation. It's that way because it began with a state representative being arrested and on bribery charges for attempting to bribe a state senator who we also learned was wearing a wire to cooperate with the federal government because of some tax fraud charges. That now brings at least three, maybe four, depending on how you count, state legislators either under federal indictment or under suspicion. And I mean, probably the number is even higher than that. Those are the ones we can just say that, you know, they've either been arrested or been subject to a search warrant or an indictment. And then it ended with one of the four tops, one of the big ones, Senate President John Cullerton, relinquishing power. I've been joking that, you know, he's been Senate president for 11 years, and if you compare it to the House Speaker, he still had another three decades to go. But, I mean, he is 71 years old and said that he really wanted to spend more time with his family. I guess that argument becomes more plausible as you approach the, you know, the sort of general public's retirement age.
And were any vetoes actually overridden by the Illinois House and Senate?
To the best of my knowledge, there was one attempt, and it failed. And when you have, under Governor Rauner, the vetoes, you had a Democratic legislature, a Republican governor, the vetoes were intense. There was a lot of fighting and a lot of action. Now, with a Democratic supermajority in the legislature and a Democratic governor, and they were pretty much getting along this year, there were very few. I even remember one veto over the summer where the governor vetoed it, and then the senator who had sponsored the legislation put out a press release saying, you know, I really appreciate the governor vetoing this bill that I tried to pass because, you know, he pointed out some flaws, and there are some things we need to address.
Oh,
so,
my.
That's sort of the attitude that's around here. There was one bill. It was about the state's, I believe, Medicaid program, right? The health care for the elderly, poor, and disabled, and who gets to, the governors, the administration, the executive branch, or the legislature gets to try and decide what's in and what's out of that program in dealing with the federal government. Pretty technical. The governor vetoed it, wanted to hold on to that power in the executive branch, and the legislature failed to override him.
Okay, and so even though it's called a veto session, they often bring up bills for the first or second or third time. One of them was about daylight saving time. Did anything happen there?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It passed in the Illinois Senate pretty overwhelmingly. It never came up in the House, so not coming to Illinois anytime soon. And I should explain what it does. It would have moved Illinois permanently into daylight saving time. So next spring the clocks ahead 1 hour and never look back. It sounds pretty good to me in terms of leaving work. You know, those of us who leave work after 5 o'clock in the middle of winter, we're doing it in darkness, and that's not super fun. On the other hand, I checked, and if this had gone into effect in Springfield, sunrise wouldn't happen in mid-December until 8:14 in the morning. So it would lead to pretty dark mornings. There's always concerns about kids waiting for school buses, standing on dark corners, and, you know, that's a dangerous situation for them. And ultimately, though, even if the legislature had passed this, which, again, it didn't, the federal government, it's thought that the federal government would have to change its law, because right now states can opt out of daylight saving time, and Arizona and Hawaii and a number of other states do that. But the law is written in such a way that they can't opt in to permanent daylight saving time. So an interesting idea, but one whose time has not yet come.
And did the General Assembly do anything about state pensions and that huge backlog that the state owes, or was it just some talk and not much else this time?
Yeah, no, nothing about the state pensions. And it's important to remember that in state pensions alone, which are state employees, state university employees, which, full disclosure, I am one. The radio station where I work is a licensee of the University of Illinois system. And teachers, most teachers in Illinois, at least in suburban and downstate districts, those pension systems have a greater than $130 billion unfunded liability. That's money that they're expected, based on actuarial tables, to be required to pay out that they do not have or are not projected to have in their accounts. And so that money needs to be made up either through investment returns or additional money coming from the state to try and backfill because it's been underfunded for years. That's the big ticket problem in Illinois. There are many smaller problems that is replicated all across the state, particularly in police and fire pension funds. A lot of suburban and downstate municipalities, from big cities like Springfield and Peoria and the Quad Cities to tiny little towns that might have a police force of a handful of people, they have their own independent pension and police and fire pension funds. And some of them are well-funded, but most of them are pretty poorly funded. And they each have their own investments. So the idea here is to consolidate the investment pool and say, well, you know, instead of this one investing its, you know, $1 million or $500,000 here and that one investing theirs, pool all this money together, and that way you have more economic power. You're a bigger player in the world of investments, and hopefully you can get some better returns. Each municipality will still have their own account under this system, so there's not, you know, concern that well-funded municipalities will be bailing out the ones that are less well-funded, but it's the idea is to improve returns and improve efficiency overall.
Okay, now something that's coming up in Illinois on January 1st is the possibility of recreational cannabis. Did the General Assembly make any changes in that law?
Yeah, I mean, that's more than a possibility. I mean, that is coming, although the state cautioned that, you know, it's going to be legal on January 1st, but it's a plant. It's not something where you can just ramp up production on the factory line. Although I have heard anecdotally that a number of the companies that are medical marijuana suppliers presently are getting into the sort of recreational marijuana business. There was what's called in Springfield a trailer bill, right? You pass a huge piece of legislation. Sometimes things don't quite work out the way you anticipated. There are questions you didn't anticipate. So they passed one of these trailer bills, just kind of follow up. On some of the issues that have come up. One of them involved bars and restaurants. There was some thought that a handful of restaurants would be given licenses to have sort of cannabis-infused food. This law says no. No restaurants, no bars. The only places that will allow public consumption of cannabis are ones that have no food and drink. So it has to be a marijuana dispensary or a retail tobacco store, for example. There's also some tweaks to the revolving door provisions about, you know, people who are in the future going to be members of the General Assembly not being allowed to have a financial stake in a cannabis business, little things like that. Probably the bar and restaurant thing is would most affect members of the public.
Okay, so Brian, the big question is what's left over for next year? What seems likely to come up starting in January, if anything?
Yeah, well, the mayor of Chicago, and this is a statewide issue, even though it's in Chicago, she wants a change in the tax rates for the big Chicago casino that was authorized earlier this year, because there was a study that said no one's going to want to manage this casino. No private company is going to step up to be the manager of this casino with these really onerous tax rates that the state is imposed. This is important for the rest of Illinois because that casino is a big part of the funding for the statewide infrastructure plan for all the building and schools and university campuses and state facilities. So the state as a whole is counting on Chicago having a successful casino. She wasn't able to get that legislation through in the fall. I'm sure it'll come up in the spring. Energy, utilities, nuclear power provider Exelon wants some state legislation it says it needs in order to keep its plants profitable and keep them open. It's threatening to close some. And the environmental groups are also pushing a set of green legislation that they say would help foster sort of green energy industry in Illinois. That's all stuff. And then, of course, who is going to be the next Senate president? Stay tuned, and we'll find out next year.